Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus. Maybe when you looked at the title for this Sunday's sermon, if you pay attention to such things, you thought, what is that? Iago Iami? Well, it's pronounced ego eimi. And it's two Greek words that are very important in the Gospel of John. It appears multiple times in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, ego eimi. He says, ego eimi, the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Ego eimi, the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Ego eimi, the living bread come down from heaven. Before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. It's interesting that after he stated that, the Jewish leaders wanted to stone him for blasphemy. Because you see, ego eimi is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Yahweh, Lord. I am the great I am. And that's mentioned in the opening hymn today. We sing with creation to God, the I am. The reason the Jews wanted to stone Jesus when he said, before Abraham ever existed, I am, is because they recognized his claim to divinity. They recognized that he was claiming to be the Lord God, the one who brought his people out of Egypt, the one who created heavens and earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were created through him. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus goes on to say in the Gospel according to St. John, ego eimi, the good shepherd. Ego eimi, the door of the sheep, as we heard last week. Ego eimi, the Son of God. Ego eimi, the resurrection and the life. Ego eimi, the true vine. Multiple times in the Gospel according to St. John, Jesus says this about himself. Jesus makes very plain that he is not merely a good religious teacher, that he is not merely a prophet of God's word, that he's certainly not merely a good man. No, he is the Lord God enfleshed, the one whom we confessed in the creed, came down from heaven for our salvation. And in the Greek, it's a little bit stronger than merely I am. It's like this, as Randy reminded me this morning. Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. Or in today's gospel reading, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, we're used to hearing those words quite frequently. They're part of gospel readings chosen for funerals. That has been the gospel reading for many a funeral I've preached here at Mount Olive. It's a beloved statement. Jesus saying that he is the way to heaven. What's more than that, he is the way to knowledge of God the Father. He is the truth. He does not lie. He is the one who gives life because he is the resurrection and the life. And then right here, no one comes to the Father except through me, except through faith in Jesus Christ, the ego eimi, the I am, the Lord of hosts from all eternity. No one comes to the Father except through him. And as I said, that's a very subversive statement. It's a statement that the church has believed from the very beginning, that Jesus is God made man, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. It is this confession of faith and this belief that led to Stephen's stoning in the reading from Acts today. Notice what he said. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Right there in God's very presence. Guess what? You can't stand at God's right hand, the place of all power and authority. You aren't God. Neither am I. Only Jesus, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God made man, who fulfilled all of God's commandments and requirements perfectly on your behalf, can stand there. The people are enraged when they hear this. They grind their teeth at Stephen, and when he says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and there is the Son of Man," they cried out with a loud voice and they took him out and stoned him. They thought Stephen was a blasphemer, just as they thought Jesus was. But notice how Stephen responds. As they're stoning him, he calls out, "Lord Jesus, Yahweh Jesus, receive my spirit," much as Jesus cried out, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And even though he was being stoned to death, the first Christian martyr after Jesus' death and resurrection, Stephen does not protest. He does not curse the people who are stoning them. He does not say, "You shouldn't be doing this to me. What have I done to you?" No, he says, "Lord, do not hold this sin against him." He follows in the path of his Lord. This is what the church is called to do. We don't punish our enemies. We pray for them. We seek to do them good. And the greatest good of all is to tell them this: Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And you will only come to the Father through him. Again, that's subversive. We live in an age of many different religions. Buddhism, Zoroastrianism, Islam, Confucianism, which is more of a philosophy than a religion. New Age religions, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnessism. And Christianity stands against all of these because of the words of Jesus, the claim Jesus made for himself that he is Lord, that he is God. As Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," when he saw the resurrected Christ, that he is the truth in a world of falsehood, that he is the life in an ocean of religions that promise to give you life if you fulfill all their requirements down to the last iota. We can't do that. We can't even keep our own New Year's resolutions most of the time. We try to go on a diet and then we see that luscious looking piece of cheesecake and there goes the diet. But Jesus fulfills the law on our behalf, God's law, because it's God's law that will condemn us every time. But it is the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life, that will save us from every sin, from all the condemnation we deserve, from God's wrath, because Jesus, God in the flesh, endured that wrath in our place. The gospel of Jesus Christ is subversive of all other schemes of salvation, all earthly kingdoms, all principalities, anything we erect, we fallen human beings erect to try to bring us, to try to bring ourselves fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness. It is Christ alone. The older I get, the more solidly, assuredly I recognize this. No, we live in a fallen world. Life in this world is not always happy. You get those aches and pains. You get those immobilities of body. You lose your memory. In some cases, you even lose your mind. But we can't lose Jesus, and he can't lose us. He is a good shepherd who promises that no one can snatch us out of his hand, and no one can snatch us out of his Father's hand, because the Father who has given us to him is greater than all. So be prepared in this age of pluralism, in this age of many ways, in this age, this culture in which the Christian faith is coming increasingly under attack, be prepared to be a little subversive. When you confess the creed, you're being subversive. You're making a bold statement that the church has made throughout her history. I believe in God the Father and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, which is founded upon this biblical truth that Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Have you heard of Miriam Ibrahim Ishag? She's been in the news somewhat lately, not widely broadcast, but she is the 27-year-old Christian woman, Christian wife, pregnant with her second child. And in the Sudan, she has been sentenced to death because of her apostasy. Because she is not Muslim, because she is a Christian, and she will not deny her faith. She has also been sentenced for marrying a Christian to receive 100 lashes with the whip, to be flogged nearly to death, and then to be executed after her child is born. Pray for her. Because she is on the very front lines of the Christian faith. She is being persecuted on account of her belief that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. She is being persecuted by the adherents of a demonic religion because she will not follow that religion. She is being persecuted because she believes in a God of love who does not demand that we keep his law in order to be saved, but who graciously saves us, who graciously saves you, who graciously saves me through Jesus Christ, his only begotten, crucified, and risen Son. I am the way and the truth and the life. And this morning, it is your privilege as the redeemed of Christ to walk on the way to him who is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who gives you his body and blood to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins. The one who nourishes you for your pilgrimage on the way, or literally on the road to life. The one who sustains and strengthens you when your Christian faith comes under attack. The one who will see you through no matter what. The one who promises that even the devil himself and all of his legions cannot snatch you out of his nail-pierced hands. The one who is your Lord and your God. How do you know these things? Well, the Holy Spirit has brought you to faith in these things. See, as Christians, we recognize we don't know it all. We've got a lot of false teaching inborn in us, a lot of false teaching in our heads. So believing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the only way to the Father, we gladly hear and learn His word, because the way is the way of life. It's not a way on which our feet naturally fall. We have to be dragged out of the way of death, and in baptism, our feet are planted in Jesus. Our whole being is planted in Jesus, and we become disciples of the way. We become disciples of Christ. We become those who learn of Him and learn of His grace and mercy and kindness and love, and learn that, yes, He who is the way indeed speaks the truth. We have eternal life in Him, and we have fellowship with the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.